will be ready to be there in glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be more like him and do his last command. For I want to be ready to be there in glory. Stop.
I can't be. Good to see everybody. Good to have folks back that was missing this morning. Good to see you. Good to have visitors always. Good to be in the house of the Lord. One day, real soon, we're not going to come to church no more. I'm going to quit. How you going to quit, preacher? I ain't never going to enter these church doors again one of these days. Going home, that's the most important thing. If you're not ready to go home, you ought to get ready. It's hard to say when you don't know what real home is like. We've lived in a few houses since we've been married and had to travel to different places. And when you first go into a house, it's not really a home, you know. You think it is. It takes a little while for it to become home. Then when it becomes home, you never want to leave it. But down here, we're just a traveler. We may stay in a place. We may sleep there. We may eat there. But one day soon, we'll never enter those doors again because we've got a better place to go. Now, on the other side, hell's different. There is no home. That's a big difference. The Lord let us know He went go to prepare a place for us. Never said nothing about having a home in hell. And most folks miss that idea that they think that there's going to be different things. A lot of folks don't even want to think about hell. But the reality of it is you're going to be in a place where you'll never be wanted. You'll never be loved. And the only thing there is pain and suffering. That's something. Hope you brought your Bible. I want to read out of the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. I won't hold you long, but I trust you'll pray for us just for a little while. I got to get my mind, and I want us to focus on something. Unless you've ever been in a situation where you think you get all figured out. I believe as a young person coming up, everybody has expectations. And we think we know what we're going to do in life. We think we'll have a career. We think we'll have families or whatever it might be wishes. I've seen folks that they were going to, I'm going to have horses. And I'm telling you, that ain't a bad idea, okay? Or I'm going to be a cattle farmer. That ain't a bad idea. See, there's a lot of good ideas, but we never anticipate some of the things that's going to be in front of us right around that corner. And I want you to listen as there was thousands of folks were going to suffer the same things. Not one, not an individual, because some of us sometimes suffer as an individual and nobody else ever knows. Nobody else ever knows. There's some things when you was growing up and your mom and daddy didn't know on you. Sometimes there are situations where mom and daddy's not present, and you'll never know, but God knows. So let's read the 17th chapter, and I'm going to mispronounce this word. I always do. Don't bother me one bit. Hope it don't bother you. Verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, however you want to call it. And there was no water for the people to drink. I don't know why the Bible put that in there. There was no water for the people to drink. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Oh, God, I pray, God, you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. God, you know my needs. God, you know my pain that I suffer. God, not a physical pain, but a pain, God, that we have to understand that we grow, God, we suffer, and God, it's all in your hands what our life is. And I pray you just use us in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture said that there was no water there. There was nothing there. Now, why in the world would the Lord lead thousands of folks where there was no water? Now, I want to tell you, a few weeks ago, you remember us preaching upon the man that the prophet of the Lord, that the Lord said there's going to be a thirst and a famine, and the Lord sent him to a particular spot. And if you'll remember in your Bible that he talks about how he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, if God leads us, and God directs us, why is this put in the Bible? Why in the world would the Lord lead us into a situation where we know it's going to drastically change for people? Why would we get into a situation where, in fact, if there's no water there and it's mentioned there's no water there, what's going to change? Is it going to rain that much? And in fact, if there's no water there, you know how the earth does when it hadn't rained for a long time. You can have buckets of water and it just seems like it soaks into the ground or it does no good. You can have a pond that's dry. And man, you can dump some water in it, but if you're not careful, if that thing gets dry too long, it'll bust cracks in it. And next thing you know, you got a pond that don't hold water. Something, ain't it? The Lord wasn't concerned about animals, and at this particular spot, he wasn't concerned about the people. Oh, yes, there was no lack of love. But God sometimes is going to lead us through the desert, through the journeys, through our troubles, through our trials, but he will never stop leading us. He'll never stop in mid-journey and say, well, I've got you this far, you get to the rest of the way, the best way you know how. I've not ever heard that from the Lord. In fact, he will be with us all the way, even to the end of the world. See, that's a promise that's real. Do you think God just promises some and doesn't promise others? Do you think God just loves one nationality over another? Because my skin is white, does God love me more than somebody else? In fact, I'd like to say it the other way. Lord, he ought to love the Jews and look at what we are. We're Gentiles. I'm thankful that God doesn't look at the color of our skin. God looks deeper. And for the children of Israel, going in the direction that God led them through, their journeys, their pain, he led them that way. It didn't take very long for circumstances to change. Now, I want to show you something. When the Lord went one midnight hour on the Sea of Galilee, when he was going one midnight hour, in other words, they were starting their journey, and the Bible said that Jesus went to sleep in the bottom of the boat. We're just going to call it that way. He went to sleep in that boat while all those other disciples was on there. Now, in those days, they didn't have the boat motors that we got, so guess what you had to do? You had to depend on the wind or you rowed, one of those things. It just wouldn't happen any other way. But anyhow, their journey caused the others to have to stay alert, to be awake, to row or let the wind do its thing or whatever it took place. And as they were journeying, Jesus being asleep, a storm came. Now listen. Just because the Lord was asleep and was not watching what was going on, did he not know what was going on? See, the circumstances changed from a situation where, oh, there's a storm and the Lord's not present, he's asleep. And yet they're journeying through a land where there is no water. Does God just all of a sudden forget us? Hesitate? His mind on something else. That's what we like to think. He's not watching us. He's not caring for me. Does God care for all of us? Friend, he cares for every single individual. Every single one. Not just those that are white in color. Not just those that live in America. Not just those that we could go down through a list. God doesn't single and say, oh, I love those folks that live in Lawrence County. God has never been that way. But God learns us things in life that we must concentrate on. And for the example of the Lord, when the disciples came and woke them up, he said, care us not that we perish.
What kind of thing is that to say to God, care us not that we perish? The Lord led these folks through a wilderness, through the wilderness of sin. He led them through a land where there was no water. Does God care? God cares more for you than you'll ever know. You can dream, and God will still love you more than what you'll ever dream. You can be a billionaire, and God will love you more than a value of $1 billion. And yet, you can have nothing in this world, and God loves you just as the same as the richest man on this earth. God's love is the same. But let me get in the story. So whenever they went on this journey, it didn't take very long for them to chide. That's a term that we don't use. But listen to the verses. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. The key word there is they went to Moses, and they knew Moses was the leader that God had chosen. Now you can get aggravated with me as being the preacher. You can. It's easy. It's real easy. I have a tendency sometimes to kid and joke with folks, and it's easy to say, well, I didn't like what the preacher said. Well, if you thought the preacher was ever serious, I'm never hardly ever serious out there, but I'm serious behind this pulpit. And I'll kid and cut up and have a good time. But friend, when it comes behind this pulpit, I mean every word, because I want you to know that there's a heaven and there's a hell. Listen. So the Bible says that they begin to chatter. They begin to say things like murmuring, talking, and begin to disagree with the leadership of God. When you need God most, you should not disagree with the direction He's leading us. It may not be the one you want. It may not be your like. It may be like the Lord was going in that ship and He was asleep in the bottom and they were going through a storm. You may like that situation better, but I got news for you. I don't like that situation, and I don't like being in the wilderness without water. But if God needs to lead me that way, it must be for something greater than I can see now. You see, the hardest lessons in life that we learn that we can't see now, but when God shows them to us, it will be the strength of your soul as you're going forward. If God can bring me through a time when I had no water and I was thirsty and I was murmuring, if God can bring me through that, friend, God can bring me through an everyday situation that I live. Because not every day is a trouble day. There are some days of the week that you can ask yourself, what did I do 3 days ago? And you can't remember. What did I do last week? And you can't remember. Because they're uneventful. That means you weren't suffering through pain, because if you're suffering through pain, you can remember a week ago I was suffering in pain. 2 weeks ago I was suffering in pain. Friend of mine, if you might say I'm going through the hardest times of my life, I want you to know the Lord knows the direction you're traveling. And here's the why. They begin to chide with Moses. They begin to argue with him. They begin to do their talking. And Moses, verse 2 said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? I'm going to hurry through here. And the people thirsted. Can I explain to you something that I have a hard time with? It's hard to believe how our body is made up, but our body is made up that it's easy for us to thirst. We can start out the day, I'm telling you what, you can start out the day and you can drink a gallon of water, and a couple of hours later, you know what you'll say? I'm thirsty. It's the craziest thing in the world, but we understand thirst. Sometimes we suffer through it. Yesterday, cutting grass, guess what you do after a period of time of cutting grass? Under that boiling hot sun and you're going through there sweating water's running off of you, guess what you'll say? Easy, I'm thirsty. But God has taught us thirst. He's taught us thirst from a young age. There's not hardly a day that won't go by that we won't say, I'm thirsty. Simple, isn't it? It's simple. We take it for granted. As long as I got me a water source real close by, I don't ever worry about being thirsty. As long as I got it close by. Now, if I'm in a situation where it's a long ways away, all of a sudden my height level of anxiety start to increase. How many of us would have been in the same situation as the children of Israel when they were a long way from a water source? In fact, they didn't know where water was. You see, as long as you know, you're not near as concerned. But when you don't know, and now you're depending on someone or your own way of thinking and doing, it's easy for me to think I can get myself to heaven. It's easy for me to think it. But it's impossible for me to do. It's easy for me to think I can be president of the United States. I can think it. Impossible for me to do. When these people chided with Moses, and Moses tells them, listen, you're really getting close to seeing things that you better be careful of. Have you ever been warned that God is a just God? Now you say, what do you mean warned? You ever been warned that God is a just God? If God's a just God, every one of us in this room deserve to die and go to hell. But I wouldn't want to agree with that. Hey, I wouldn't want to agree. You know why I wouldn't want to agree with that? Because I am thankful. I am thankful that God doesn't look at justice and look at me. I'm glad that Jesus Christ stood in my behalf, was a go-between, and said, oh, they deserve hell. But because of what he did, I don't have to go to hell. Watch this. So they all agreed. They all chimed in. And Moses began to say, but watch this particular part right here. They were thirsty. They were murmuring. Verses 3, I'm reading the middle part of the verse. Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? There's their situation. And Moses did not say to them, he cried unto the Lord. Now let me tell you, this is a part that I want you to hear. On your behalf, there are people that'll stand in the gap on your behalf. I believe this is true with everybody that I've ever been around or in contact with. I have seen people walk the aisle to get saved and get saved, and just no longer, well, then they could still be in altar, and folks come up to me and say, I've been praying for them for a long time. In fact, I don't know if there's ever been a time when somebody ever got saved that somebody else prior had been praying to God on their behalf. Moses was that person right there. Moses was taking all of those people that he could have looked at every day of the week, and Moses had God, and God, he was going to speak to God on their behalf. Moses was probably as thirsty as any one of those folks. Moses could have been in the same identical condition and would have wanted to complain. But one thing that I have learned, that praying for others may not always be enough. We be saved, preacher. Praying is the most important thing. Oh, it's very important. But praying may not be enough. You know why? Moses was willing to trust God before he ever prayed. Because listen, if you're going into land with no water, there had to be known something. There had to be in seeing something. If you're walking into that region yourself, all of a sudden you're thinking, my goodness, this land looks dry. You're able to see it before you ever experience it. You're able to walk through the land and you ain't seen no water yet. You're thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And it ain't just a gallon of water to take care of 1,000 folks. And it's multiple thousands of people. Friend of mine, you look for a large mass of water and you ain't seen it. You know what Moses was willing to do? Trust God while walking through the desert. Now, let me describe you that in a little different angle. Do you know in hell there is no water? You know, in hell, the rich man made the statement when he lifted up his eyes in hell. He said he could see Father Abraham afar off. And he said to him, Father Abraham, would you let Lazarus, because he saw him, bring and dip the tip of his finger, just get a maybe a drop of water, for I am tormented. What good would a drop of water do? What good would a drop of water? At the moment when you feel like you're going to thirst to death, a drop of water is all you really need to think about. You're not thinking about 5 minutes from then. You're only thinking about the now. And he had the opportunity to speak to Abraham. And he had the ability to speak to Abraham. And everything was based upon, oh, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is the most satisfying part that I could ever have. But in hell, there is no water. And no water in hell means there'll never be water in hell. And in this desert, God made sure there was no water. He made sure. The day before they got there, it could have been an oasis of water. But God made sure there was no water for when the people came through. Now, why in the world would God want it that way? Just as sure as we all are going through things in life, when we go through things in life, we would prefer the easier route. When we travel from point A to point B, I kind of look, and if I see an interstate, that's the way I'm going. I've traveled enough between here and Nashville. Y'all know from those many years, we knew the best route, the easiest route. The route that I can make the best time. Studied it, looked at it, went the other way many times. And no, beyond a shadow of a doubt, here to Nashville, interstate. But before we learned that capability, we had suffered through shortcuts, this, that, and the other. I mean suffered through them. Watch this right here. God will put something in our life, in our way, for a reason. And that reason, sometimes you can figure it out for yourself. The Bible says, for the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, save those that believe. Foolishness. But God continues to let preachers preach. There's times in our life when we're starving. Not for food and water. I'm talking about church. We're starving to hear the word preached. Sometimes we're just starving to death to sing, hear, be around a good song. Sometimes we're just starving to death when we get on our knees and pray, and we know we got an answer from God. Because all of those examples, every one of those examples, if we had those every day, if we experienced that all the time, we would take God for granted. But when those children went through that process, they all thought God was punishing them. God was doing something to them. And you know the real meat of that story is God was looking also at His servant Moses. I want to tell you, a lot of times church is for such an encouragement for me and you. Such a blessing that we get. The world don't understand that. But sometimes church is such satisfying to the soul that sometimes we leave the church at such a happy state of mind. It's because we know we've been around the presence of God. We've been around the fullness of God. We've been around the preaching of God. And it seems like it's put us on a level that we're happier inside than we've been in a long time. Now, you can't explain that to the world. But sometimes God puts us in a church because God sends somebody that needs Him and their soul. And we never know who, when, and why. I'll reflect back to mine. I said I wasn't going to be long. Give me a few more minutes. I'll tell you the time that I got saved. I done got conscious of that going to church stuff. Stay away from them preachers. Shake their hand and run out as quick as you can. Got that down pat. But I got fooled into sitting up front for a different reason. Went to a singing. Sit up there unbeknownst to me. Comfortable. No idea wanting to get saved. I'm good. Somebody say, you say, I didn't want to answer that question. I want to avoid them. If I knew there's going to be testimony, that was a time when you'd like to crawl under the pew. But in all that process, I didn't know God was making me thirsty. And I really didn't realize how thirsty I was. And then God supplied the water. And when He supplied the water for these children of Israel. Now you know the story, and I'm not going to get into that story. But when God supplied the water, every one of the children of Israel knew it was from God. It wasn't from a pond. It wasn't from a hydrant. It was from God. And when you know God is speaking to you, you can say anything you want to say, but you yourself know if it come from God. And when God speaks to you, it verifies, number one, His love for you. Number two, you realize you're not holy, and God is. And number three, only one that will ever save you or change you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're talking about going, knowingly going to a land where there was no water. And every one of them, when they got fed by God through that water, their thirst satisfied, they were thankful that God was there. And I'm thankful to the good Lord that He is here. And you can be saved tonight. You can have a life changed. You can leave this building a new creature in the Lord. The Bible says, all things passed away. Happen for me, and it can happen for you. Brother Greg, a song. There was no water there. there. None. Not a drop. And yet, when they pass through the land, it's a whole lot better. May not be much to speak about. But that old country church where I got saved, an old pew turned around backwards, that old slatted pew didn't even have no covering over it. I sure was thankful that it was an altar. That's how country it was. It didn't matter to me that they had air conditioning. It could have been raising the windows like I went to a many time. It wasn't a building. It wasn't the altar. It was the Savior that saved my soul that night. Man, thank God for that. You may be tired in this world, but God can be fresh in your life if you'll surrender to Him. Can we stand together tonight? We're going to sing a verse of this song, and if you need to pray, you help yourself. You come. You won't pray alone.